WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Two firefighters killed after being ambushed while fighting a brush fire on a mountain in Idaho.
We did lose a Coeur d'Alene firefighter, and we did lose a firefighter from the Kootenai County Fire and Rescue.
County Sheriff Bob Norris, the lone suspect who is believed to have set the fire, was found dead after the ambush. North Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis, one of two no votes on President Trump's budget bill, announcing he will not be seeking re-election. ABC's Allie Pickorin says the announcement
comes after President Trump took to social media late Saturday night and just ripped into the North Carolina senator in a really very dramatic and lengthy post on social media, accusing him of betraying the party, essentially, by casting a vote against the big, beautiful bill.
The Republican budget bill set to be voted on when the Senate reconvenes this morning. Clerks spent nearly 16 hours reading out loud all 960 pages of the legislation. This is ABC News.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Attention, avid readers, if there are still any left. You can never have enough psychological thrillers, as far as I'm concerned, and thanks to Amazon, there is a new one on the way based on a best-selling book. The streamer has purchased rights to Freda McFadden's The Tenant, which has been atop the New York Times bestseller chart for 7 weeks. The story follows Blake Porter, a marketing executive who loses his job and takes in a boarder to help make ends meet. You can imagine how that goes. Tough to find a good roommate, much less one who won't try to kill you. If you haven't been to Summerfest yet but have been meaning to go, you still have time. One more weekend, to be specific. The third and final weekend of one of the world's biggest music festivals kicks off again this Thursday, July 3rd. This upcoming weekend's music lineup includes Benson Boone, Fountains of Wayne, Social Distortion, John Oates, Without Hall, that doesn't seem right, Everclear, and the Lumineers. Hot fun in the summertime. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers head to New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers on their way to Queens, New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The crew losing to the Rockies yesterday, 4-3 in 11 innings. The game began with Rockies manager Warren Schaefer and batter Tyler Freeman arguing with the umpire about balls and strikes, both ejected. I asked Brewers pitcher Chad Patrick how it went for him.
That first inning was definitely a grind. I felt like I was making good pitches, just trying to get rewarded a little bit, how close they were. Said something, you know, go on from there, but he ended up being right.
Basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks have reached a new 3-year deal with Bobby Portis Jr. worth as much as $44 million. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Listen, Bobby, he's been fantastic. Every night he gives us something, defensively with his hands and his rebound.
And former Buck Malik Beasley, now with the Pistons, under investigation for gambling. Beasley accused of betting on NBA games 2 years ago while with Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Charlie Pittman, Civic Media's news director, will be here to recap all of the weekend news. In hour number two, we lighten it up with We Got This Garden. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a slight chance of a scattered thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high right around 80 today. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down to the upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine with a high of 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk Action Wisconsin and film incentives with Jeffrey Kurz and Nathan Deming. And Kurt Newman of the legendary Bodines joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
All right, rainfall reporters, let me know what you've got. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Welcome to a Monday. Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pam Yonke, and that weather is exactly what a lot of Wisconsin farmers are watching for. But then again, if you've got 4th of July plans this week, you're likely monitoring the weather as well. Some folks reporting this morning, they picked up quite a little bit of rain. In the Poinette area, for example, 1.4 inches of rain. My backyard on the west side of Madison, barely a trace. That's why your reports are so critical to us here on the Midwest Farm Report. Go ahead. You can call that number or you can text that number and let me know what you see. So today, it looks like the heat is going to return with a vengeance around Wisconsin. Good 40% chance of showers or thunderstorms, probably afternoon. You may see a little patchy fog this morning, depending on where you are. Otherwise, a sunny Monday on the way. High temperatures around 85 degrees with winds out of the northwest about 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, another chance of showers and thunderstorms overnight before sunshine repeats on a Tuesday. Tomorrow's highs right around 83. If you're looking towards the end of the week, I do have to tell you there's a chance of showers or thunderstorms in the forecast, basically from Wednesday through Saturday afternoon. We'll take a closer look at weather details as the morning unfolds. Coming up next, keeping an eye on details in Washington, D.C., we sometimes forget that farmers are waiting for a farm bill, or at least the version that we're going to get of a farm bill in Washington, D.C. Up next, Bob Bosold catches up with some of the policymakers on how that progress is coming.
Here at the Midwest Farm Report, we are paying attention to what stories you find most interesting. And if you miss it, don't worry, we got you covered. Here are your top five stories from this week.
Number 5, Wisconsinites paying more for Independence Day barbecues.
Number 4, high schoolers return home from campus with more possibilities.
Number 3, manpower needed at state's largest farm show.
Number 2, meet the brains behind the horsepower.
And your number 1 listen to story this week, we're all ears for this sweet corn update.
Make sure to continue to follow along with us for all your Wisconsin agriculture news.
The Wisconsin Farmers Union had a chance earlier this month to show off their newly remodeled state headquarters, the Market on the River, the former Mason Shoe Factory in Chippewa Falls. Wisconsin Farmers Union president and his staff welcome state Farmers Union presidents from around the country for their annual get-together.
Yes, every summer the National Board goes to a different location around the country to have our summer meetings and talk about what's going on in D.C. and around the country. And Wisconsin Farmers Union was able to host it this year and certainly have been very proud to show off our new facilities here that we've remodeled over the last couple of years and opened up back in October to bring presidents from the other parts of the country here to see what Wisconsin has to offer, but also show off the restaurants and the lower part of the building where we've got the cafeteria-style folks. So everybody's been really impressed on what we have here. And so, you know, the big question is will we keep this thing going and running? Our hope and dream is that 40 years from now, they can look back and say that was a wonderful thing that happened at that time.
And it's wonderful because you've remodeled it, but you've kept the character of this building.
Yeah, you know, adding that nostalgia to the building, really. And certainly the floor, if you look really closely once in a while, you can still find a sewing needle from the Mason Shoe days in here. And, you know, that's really critical what we really want to see because history is a part of every day. You know, it's going to change tomorrow from what's here today, but it's always nice to be able to go back and see what our forefathers did for us, you know, to get to where we're at today.
And Darren, as you host Farmers Union members, leaders from all over the country, did you have a chance to talk about Midwest or Wisconsin issues in particular to kind of lay a base for the talks?
Sure. So, you know, with the whole immigration issue that's going on around the countryside, and a couple of days ago the governor did talk about what's going on, and, you know, it's, we've got to make sure that we're protecting the dairy industry here. So, you know, if the president decides to send ICE agents into the dairy farm industry and what that could possibly do. So looking at, you know, are we going to allow it to happen? Well, most likely, but do we want it to be escalated to the point that we're seeing in other states around the country? And, you know, it shouldn't get to that. We definitely need to make sure that we have those people available to produce the milk that we consume on a regular basis here in the state.
Also involved in helping leading those Farmers Union discussions in Chippewa Falls was National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue, who said the current farm bill talks, as well as budget reconciliation under the One Big Beautiful Bill, are long overdue.
Well, first of all, there are so many reasons why we should have gotten this farm bill done 2 years ago. We could have potentially gotten it done last year. We knew going into this year, regardless of who was going to be in office, that this was going to be a year of kind of pulling back. We know also that because of the state of the farm economy right now and the needs in a lot of rural communities, that we need additional investment, not pulling back. And so just in that space alone, we're finding ourselves, yeah, in an environment where we're trying to make a lot of cuts, and we are having voices like Johnson's say we're not going deep enough. And I think that that's really ultimately a disservice to rural America and to family farms. So we're urging them to think clear.
When you look at this budget reconciliation bill, as it goes through the Senate, it's going to be different than what goes through the House. What do you think we might end up with, and when might we end up with something?
The Senate traditionally has been a little bit of a moderating force, particularly on related to farm bill issues, both in terms of the safety net for farmers, but also on nutrition spending. We're starting to see what that could potentially look like. I think there's still going to be any question about whether or not it's going to garner enough support, even from the Republican side, to get across the finish line. We know that the president wants to see this get finished and wrapped up by July 4th. I think it is still a heavy lift, but potentially get it through. But again, I keep coming back to this question of, regardless of what ultimately ends up in there, there's still a lot of pieces of the farm bill that are not being talked about in the budget reconciliation package. And making sure that we have the oomph to try to get that across the finish line itself is going to be a major, major challenge for the remaining part of this congressional year.
Yeah, so it's one of those wait-and-see issues. Rob LaRue is with us, president of the National Farmers Union in Wisconsin, to take a look at the new headquarters of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And, Rob, there are so many issues involved in agriculture right now. We know Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins has a plan in place to decentralize, for lack of a better word, USDA out of Washington. If you have any indication of what really that is going to be, and is she going to put part of the office in Kansas City, or what are you hearing?
Well, at its heart, I don't think that there's anything wrong with making sure that, you know, the valuable folks that help support farmers, help support rural communities, and all the important work of the Department of Agriculture, that they need to be based in any one place, right? And we know also already that the vast majority of USDA employees are already outside of Washington. They're in the county offices. They're in the individual states around. And so we already have a USDA that is very grounded, I think, out into the countryside. And I think folks need to be reminded of that. For the workforce that is in D.C., I think it's appropriate to have a conversation about where is the best place for those folks to be. What I do think is a mistake is if part of that conversation or part of the efforts that they've already attempted this year so far is to simply pull jobs away from rural communities, away from farmers. In spite of kind of early efforts to say that we're not going to touch farm service agency offices, we hear too many examples of county offices that have to be closed a couple days of the week now because they simply don't have the staff to do there. That means that farmers who are waiting for disaster payments, farmers who are trying to sign up for other programs, don't have the resources they need. Could we in the future be doing some of this online and make it more electronic? That's very possible, but I think we have such a valuable resource in those county offices. We need to respect the work that they're doing and make sure that those jobs are preserved.
Speaking of workers, quick note on immigration. You're in Wisconsin. Dairy is our headline agricultural industry. We know dairy farms are getting bigger. Every operation, no matter what kind of operation, cropping or livestock, getting bigger. Are you concerned we're going to have enough workers to pick watermelon and oranges in California, milk cows in Wisconsin, whatever?
We've had that concern long before this president took office here. This has been an issue in agriculture for a long time, as you know, Bob. And right now, with the focus on immigration and trying to enforce the law and get folks doing the roundups and so forth, I think what agriculture needs to do is continue to talk about the important role that so many of these workers play in making sure that cows are milked, making sure that crops are harvested. This doesn't just happen. And we continue to need to, in spite of the efforts that the president's making out here to both support farmers and to be firm on immigration, recognizing that in agriculture, we have to make sure that we have the workforce here to produce the food.
Do you think this puts new emphasis, new light, and forces some action on the H-2A guest worker program to make people realize that these people come here to work in agriculture aren't just here for 60 days until the crop is picked? They milk cows or whatever 365 days a year, 24/7.
Oh, yeah. Not only that, but, you know, folks, particularly in the H-2A program, you had the same families coming back year after year to perform that important work. And so that's all really important. Agriculture has had a coalition that's worked on H-2A reform for a long time. We've worked with groups that represent the farm workers, and we've come to, I think, good compromises on making sure that the program functions well for everyone. And so if it was just up to agriculture, I think that we could have had some immigration reform, particularly in H-2A, done long ago.
But LaRue added he doesn't have any timetable on when or if H-2A reform might happen. He did say, though, he enjoyed plenty of good ice cream and cheese curds while he was in Wisconsin. With Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and Rob Liu, president of the National Farmers Union, from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Supreme Court said in 2019 that partisan gerrymandering was fundamentally a political issue and left it to legislatures and state courts to decide. In South Carolina, a state Supreme Court case heard June 24th challenges the state constitutionality of partisan gerrymandering. At the heart of the case is this provision in the South Carolina state constitution. All elections shall be free and open, and every inhabitant of the state possessing the qualifications provided for in this constitution shall have an equal right to elect officers and be elected to fill public office. In another SCOTUS case, 2024's Alexander v. South Carolina NAACP, evidence showed state legislators repeatedly said they gerrymandered for partisan, not racial reasons when they moved 30,000 mostly black voters into Congressional District 2, leaving adjacent districts more white and conservative. Their admission of partisan gerrymandering is now being used against them. The League of Women Voters and ACLU argued that the admitted partisan gerrymandering, quote, violated voters' constitutional rights to free and open elections that are protected from all undue influence and where voters exercise equal influence over elections. The groups asked that the map be in compliance with the state constitution. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings, but there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Take a look back at the weekend headlines with Pat Kreitlow, Trigvi Olsen, and State Senator Kelda Royce on what's happening in the Joint Finance Committee. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And six. Now, Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, is on vacation this week, but we'll do our best to bring you weather-related information and, of course, your updates from the Talk Text Line. It's all brought to you courtesy of our friends at Compere Financial. Compere Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture in rural America. All you need to do is check out Compere.com for an office near you or great resources available online. Now, the heat is going to continue to be a part of Wisconsin's weather forecast today for sure. We've got a good 40% chance of showers or thunderstorms probably redeveloping again after about lunchtime. This morning, you could see some patchy fog. Otherwise, sunshine on the way today, 85 are expected high. A little bit of a breeze out there at nor out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, more rain is possible. Overnight lows down to 63. Tomorrow, sunshine looks pretty dry. 83 are expected high. Wednesday, sunshine, 85. And then as we get into Wednesday night into Thursday morning, we've got a chance of showers and thunderstorms redeveloping by the time we get to Thursday. And unfortunately for a lot of folks, the outlook for the 4th of July stretch, not necessarily the best. We'll give you the more details up next.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin State Fair. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away State Fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win State Fair tickets.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All right, our Compere Financial Ag Weather update on a Monday, calling for a chance of showers or thunderstorms probably developing after lunchtime today. We could wake up with fog in some low-lying areas this morning. Sunshine for a Monday, highs around 85. Tomorrow, sunshine 83. Wednesday, sunshine and 85. But by the time we get to Wednesday night into Thursday, now we've got a chance of showers or thunderstorms that begin to develop. Thursday, a 20% chance. Friday, a 30% chance. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms are likely. Again, the Talk Text line open for you, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. You know, we may not like what our weather looks like in Wisconsin, but boy, I'll tell you, weather forecasters in Illinois are concerned it could be another big year for tornadoes. An outbreak of tornadoes in the central part of the state has Illinois state climatologist Trent Ford worried about how many more Illinois will expect. Right now, they have 129 twisters for the year.
We were coming into June tied for second in total tornadoes, tied with Missouri, actually. So it's been a pretty active year for them as well. Texas was number one, but that's not really all that fair because Texas is massive. So on a per square mile basis, Illinois was actually leading the country in tornado frequency. So it has been yet another very active year. And like you mentioned, June has not been slow when it comes to tornadoes as well. You mentioned that night where we had 14 across central Illinois, had a few others across southern Illinois as well.
Trent Ford, he is Illinois state climatologist, and he said Illinois is coming off of a record year of tornadoes from last year, 142 that were recorded. So you understand why he's worried what 2025 could bring.
Right now, we are ahead of where we were last year on total tornadoes for the state. And if you remember last year, we broke our or set a new statewide record. That was helped along by, 30-some tornadoes in the Chicagoland area in July. Hopefully, we don't get that again. I'd be okay if we don't break that record for a second year in a row. But certainly, it doesn't look, despite this ridge that we've seen in the last couple of days, it doesn't look like our severe weather chances are going to be, slim going from June into July. So I would expect a continuation of some pretty active weather across the state as the calendar turns over into July.
Yikes! That's absolutely intimidating. Trent Ford, Illinois State climatologist, he said prior to last year, 2006 held the record for the most tornadoes in Illinois with 125. Wow, there's your weather update on a Monday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here at Civic Media, we believe radio plays an important role in strengthening our communities by focusing on what is happening here and now. Here's a clip from a recent edition of the Todd Alba Show, where Todd sat down with Alex Modersky from the Nature Conservancy talking conservation in Wisconsin.
We're joined to talk about other conservation issues by Alex Modersky, the Associate Director of Government Relations at the Nature Conservancy. Alex, before to break, introduced a little bit the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Fund. Former Republican Governor Warren Knowles, former Democratic Governor and U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson, who started and founded Earth Day. What does this program mean for the state of Wisconsin, and why does it appear to be, if not in danger, certainly a concern right now as we look at the current budget process in Wisconsin?
Well, it means everything. It means a lot. I was thinking about this interview, Todd, today before I joined you to chat. And when we talk about the outdoors, it does everything from protect wildlife species to protect wetlands. It also, for local units of government, does things like create trails, creates parks, helps protect them. You're on a boat launch today. There's a whole sub-program of this Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program that's dedicated to making sure boaters can enjoy that activity. And every acre of land we have at the Nature Conservancy based on this program is open to all nature-based outdoor activities, as we call them, including hunting, fishing, and trapping. And those are such an important part of our state's cultural heritage that I'm glad we can offer that to every Wisconsinite and everyone who wants to visit this state for free. It's a public-private matching grant program, so we don't get this money for free from the state government. We got to show up at the table and explain to the Department of Natural Resources, here's what we think we can do, here's what we think we can protect, and here's what we think people can use. So here's the money we can bring to the table. Can you help us out? The program, I think, is not unique in facing some challenges in the legislature to the extent that that process doesn't always move as smoothly as perhaps most Wisconsinites would ideally like, but that's one reason we continue to go back to the legislature and tout these polls that say 93% of Wisconsinites support the stewardship program.
You've been listening to a portion of the Todd Alba Show. To learn more and to subscribe to the show's podcast, check out the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Alba Show.
Two firefighters killed after being ambushed while fighting a brush fire on a mountain in Idaho.
We did lose a Coeur d'Alene firefighter, and we did lose a firefighter from the Kootenai County Fire and Rescue.
County Sheriff Bob Norris, the lone suspect who is believed to have set the fire, was found dead after the ambush. North Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis, one of two no votes on President Trump's budget bill, announcing he will not be seeking re-election. ABC's Allie Pecorin says the announcement
comes after President Trump took to social media late Saturday night and just ripped into the North Carolina senator in a really very dramatic and lengthy post on social media, accusing him of betraying splitting the party, essentially, by casting a vote against the big, beautiful bill.
The Republican budget bill set to be voted on when the Senate reconvenes this morning. Clerks spent nearly 16 hours reading out loud all 960 pages of the legislation. This is ABC News.
The Brewers head to New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers on their way to Queens, New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The crew losing to the Rockies yesterday, 4-3 in 11 innings. The game began with Rockies manager Warren Schaefer and batter Tyler Freeman arguing with the umpire about balls and strikes, both ejected. I asked Brewers pitcher Chad Patrick how it went for him.
That first inning was definitely a grind. I felt like I was making good pitches, just trying to get rewarded a little bit, how close they were. Said something, you know. Go on from there, but he ended up being right.
Basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks have reached a new three-year deal with Bobby Portis Jr. worth as much as $44 million. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Listen, Bobby, he's been fantastic. Every night he gives us something defensively with his hands and his rebound.
And former Buck Malik Beasley, now with the Pistons, under investigation for gambling. Beasley accused of betting on NBA games 2 years ago while with Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, Jeff Mandel from Law Forward on suing Elon Musk in order to prevent backdoor bribery of voters by billionaires.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a slight chance of a scattered thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high right around 80 today. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down to the upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine with a high of 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on Civic Media Radio. We now take you to Matt and Air on Air with Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Rooten on the importance of public radio.
What I wanted to bring up really quick is one of the things you brought up as a discussion point was cuts to public radio and NPR. Darren, do you want to speak on that?
Yeah, you know, it's something that I think affects not only farmers, but rural citizens across the country. You know, I hear more and more people that are listening to the programs that public radio offers and national public radio or TV. You know, how do we keep those programs alive? And a lot of that is through public funding. About half of the funding, or a quarter of the funding, to NPR and public radio comes from private donations. So, you know, it's one of those programs that I listen to a lot when I'm driving down the road with all the windshield time that I have. and it has a lot to do with the news source that's there too. It's an independent news source. It's not viable to one particular promoter. You know, at the end of different newscasts, they'll say that one of their sponsors was actually somebody that they were talking about.
Right. Yeah.
What radio stations do you hear that on? You just don't. And so how do you know who's pushing what button that they can report on and what they can't report on, where public radio and public TV, you know, really gets to the source. And most times if the opposite sides want to be on the stage at the same time, that's what they would much rather do. But we're seeing a lot of pushback from the far right saying that it's not a good news source. Well, if you don't show up and talk about your point, you really can't say that. It's like the local tavern affiliate or customer that complains about politics all the time but never goes and votes.
Right. Yes.
You really don't have a right to complain about it if you're not willing to be on the program.
I'm very, very surprised that you and other agriculture producers in Wisconsin are NPR fans. And I think that helps explain a little bit to me, at least, why they would like to cut funding, because I think they would much prefer that Wisconsin farmers were listening to different kinds of media outlets.
Yeah, and you know, and certainly nowadays with modern technology, and if you are lucky enough to own some of the modern equipment, you can get Sirius Radio and listen to whatever you want. But there's a whole lot of us that are still farming with tractors from the 80s and 90s and still have AM radios on our dials too yet. So having as many news sources as we can is what we prefer.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Everywhere are absolutely frustrated.
Yeah, this heat and humidity reminds me that fair activities are about to unfold in a big way. This week, we encourage you to think about getting involved at the Stoughton Junior Fair. That's going to be at Mant Park in Stoughton. The exhibits are going to start showing up tomorrow and Wednesday. And then all the rest of the activities, including competitive events at Mant Park in Stoughton, run through the weekend. Welcome back on a Monday. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Of course, county fairs are one of the big reasons why the Midwest Farm Report loves our job, despite the heat and the humidity. Great stories that we'll be sharing with you over the course of the next few weeks. And don't forget, if you're looking for a fair specific, WIFairs.com can help you out. So today is the 30th day of June. Let's see, what can I tell you? On this day, back in 1936, the novel Gone with the Wind is published. Margaret Mitchell's story, set in the American South during the American Civil War. One of the biggest bestsellers that we've ever seen in the United States. And in 1939, when it became a version, obviously it launched Vivian Lee and Clark Gable into very successful careers. The novel Gone with the Wind, published on this day back in 1936. Let's say happy birthday this morning to heavyweight boxer Mike Tyson. He is 59 today. And Olympic gold medal winner, swimmer Michael Phelps, turns 40 years young. And now you know. Wisconsin's dairy processing industry happy to see an investment of about $3.2 million in state monies that will help them continue to work on agricultural exports and dairy innovation. Rebecca Sweeney, Senior Director of Programs and Policy with the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association, says this funding will help them to handle the challenges of international volatility, supply chain disruptions, labor shortages, and biosecurity threats. The measure was passed by both Republicans and Democrats, and that is another good thing to see in support for the Wisconsin Initiative on Agricultural Exports and the Dairy Processor Grant Program. Now, that's not the only action we're seeing down at the state capitol. Stephanie Hoff caught up with our Assembly Ag Chair to find out about a couple other policy platforms that Wisconsin farmers are watching.
We're catching up with Representative Travis Tranel, the chair of the Assembly Agriculture Committee. State budget negotiations or debates continue to take center stage on Capitol Hill, but there are also some bills moving through the Agriculture Committee to watch. We start with the Nutrient Loss Reduction Program. This is a bill that Representative Tranel is co-sponsoring.
We're always looking for ways where we can help farmers be more innovative, help them be on the cutting edge when it comes to stewardship, conservation, and protecting water quality. And ultimately, I believe at the end of the day, farmers are going to be either required to do this stuff or the market is going to force them to do it. And I'm a big believer that farmers, one, they want to be the best stewards of the land because it's their land. But two, if we're going to ask them to do these things, that's fine. We just have to make sure that they're being compensated. And that bill would be a step in that direction.
You know, as we do look over the next 6 months, do you have any specific goals for your committee?
definitely make sure that if we pass a budget that we restore that $100 million cut to AREP. I think that's ultimately probably the most consequential thing that we can really do for agriculture right now, because our infrastructure is just crumbling. We're doing more damage to our equipment on the roads in a lot of cases than we are in the fields, and I don't think that's acceptable. $150 million spend, that's a big spend and a big infusion. So I would say that would continue to be first and foremost. I also would like to, we've been talking about dealing with the foreign ownership of land. There's competing bills out there. To the general public, it sounds like a no-brainer. To me, it also sounds like a no-brainer. But once you dive into the weeds, there are some complicated issues that arise. It would be nice to iron that out and get that done. And then I'm also pretty interested in a bill that's called Right to Repair. If you're a farmer and you want to repair your own equipment, you should have the right to do that. Or a lot of times, you know, some farmers aren't the most mechanically inclined. A lot are, but some aren't. I would put me in that category. I always tease people, I have a cell phone. I can find somebody to fix anything, but it's probably not going to be me fixing it. But I do have a lot of independent contacts in my phone who I rely on quite heavily to keep our fleet moving. And if they're not allowed to get the tools, the technology, or the software to work on some of this newer equipment, that is going to be a huge problem. And I think a lot of times some farmers think that right to repair really doesn't affect them. But when you look at it in that light, it really affects all of us. And as this new equipment, unfortunately, gets to be more and more expensive and simultaneously less and less reliable, unless that's just a unique experience to me and to my farm, right to repair is just going to become more and more important.
That foreign ownership of land, that's been one that hasn't been able to move much this session or last session. What's holding that up, and do we get a timeline on that?
What holds it up is that we do have a lot of partnerships with other countries where they do own significant agricultural assets in this country. Canada, for example, they own some processing in Wisconsin, amongst other assets. And you might think to yourself, well, that doesn't make any sense. We want to own all of our own assets. And I can understand that train of thought. But on the flip side, the United States also has substantial agricultural interests in some of these other countries. And so in order to prevent a tit for tat, which we've kind of seen with the tariff wars, we have to figure out how we can avoid that. So we want to make sure that we find a clear and concise way where we can say our foreign adversaries like China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, et cetera, we want to make sure that they don't own any part of U.S. agriculture, whether that's land or assets. But some of these other more friendly countries where we also have substantial interest in their countries, we have to figure out how to thread that needle.
So it sounds like devil's in the details, and word choice is probably pretty important on that one.
I totally would agree. And unfortunately, that seems to be the theme in the legislature. If I had a dollar for every time I had to tell somebody I'm not an attorney.
Our regular update with Representative Travis Tranel. He chairs the Assembly Agriculture Committee. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Here at the Midwest Farm Report, we are paying attention to what stories you find most interesting. And if you miss it, don't worry, we got you covered. Here are your top five stories from this week.
Number 5, Wisconsinites paying more for Independence Day barbecues.
Number 4, high schoolers return home from campus with more possibilities.
Number 3, manpower needed at state's largest farm show.
Number 2, meet the brains behind the horsepower.
And your number 1 listen to story this week, we're all ears for this sweet corn update.
Make sure to continue to follow along with us for all your Wisconsin agriculture news.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from 4 geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
All righty. Well, this is a holiday influenced week, so kind of bear that in mind if you're watching the numbers. On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese finished 2¾ cents higher, 166.5. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny at 162, while AA butter gained 2.5 cents, 256.25 per pound. Now, this morning, Dow Jones Industrial Average right now up more than 200 points. Our commodities are very, very quiet. Remember, we've got another crop progress report that comes out this afternoon that will give us a little bit of a slice into how the crops are developing. Currently, July corn is up a penny. December new crop down a penny at 426. July soybeans are unchanged. November new crop right now up 4.1029. The July wheat, that's unchanged right now at 525. The July class 3 milk that goes in cheese up 6 at 1762. The August milk is up 13 at 1846 a hundredweight. I know last week they reported that the average cost of your 4th of July picnic up a little bit this year compared to last. That was for Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation Market Basket Survey, as well as the American Farm Bureau Federation. But one interesting item is that if you're serving pork chops, for example, during the 4th of July celebration, the price on those have actually gone down. What's going on with our pork industry? Well, the recent USDA Hogs and Pig report shows that total inventory of hogs in the United States is up just a little bit. Barrett Nelson is an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, and he says he's keeping an eye on those numbers and what they may mean to prices down the line.
We've got cash hogs running around $106 per hundredweight. That's a really solid price for this time of year. And one of the things that's doing this is we're finding some demand. So even though we've got some bearish news in this report that our hog numbers are up, we've also got some really supportive demand coming in. Seeing some increased demand in the pork sector as a substitute for these record high beef prices is kind of interesting.
Barrett Nelson, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, do we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang step into the host chairs, and they're joined by Tanya Atkinson of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin to discuss Donald Trump's threats to Wisconsinites' health care. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
Farmers across the United States planted. That's coming off this afternoon. Well, as we wrap her up on a Monday, we want to remind you the Midwest Farm Report is continuing to gather your stories of century and sesquicentennial farms and homes still in the same family all across the state. These folks will be recognized during the Wisconsin State Fair during their special breakfast ceremony. Midwest Farm Report, happy to be there and looking for your century or sesquicentennial tales. If you ever want to reach out to us and share your story, the talk text line, one of the best ways to reach us, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. This morning, Aubrey Schlimgen joins us, sharing one of the stories we've gathered so far.
Sometimes unfortunate events are inevitable when it comes to farming, such as barn fires, which can cause immense levels of devastation. I'm Aubrey Schlimgen with the Midwest Farm Report, and Bob Smith with Foursome Acres knows this all too well. Their farm is one of many being recognized this year as a sesquicentennial farm. His farm lies in Fond du Lac County, and he tells us about how their farm got started and what they have accomplished through the years.
Well, I guess we started with, the family started with four boys. We didn't have any sisters. And Dale and I were the youngest of the four. We were the ones that worked on the farm right away when we were little. Couldn't get enough. Farming was, at that time, I guess it seemed everything was fun, you know. It wasn't really work, and that went for that way quite a few years. Then we wanted to build on a little bit, and we cleaned up buildings that were here that were kind of bad. And we started with we had 45 cows. We started with 72. We built a piece on the barn, and then we a few years later we built another piece on the barn, another 100 feet, and that was really nice. And my wife and the kids, I got three kids, and my brothers, none of them, Jack was married. Jack hauled milk for 50 years, over 50 years, and Ronnie, he's the second oldest. He was the smartest guy in a bunch, I guess. He was really smart. And he went to Oshkosh University, then he went to Milwaukee, and then he got his doctorate, and he taught at University of Dubuque for 50 years. And he's still alive. And Jack, he died a few years ago, but whatever here, and nice man. Just take me to the Brewer games when they were in Milwaukee County Stadium, yeah. Yeah, all the only time he got anywhere. And anyhow, Ronnie there lives in Hazel Green, and he's retired now. Even got his name on a building down there, actually, Ronnie does. He was quite a teacher. And Dale and me worked on the farm, and then my wife, Sharon, and we got the three kids, Corey, Kevin, and Nikki. And they all helped on the farm. They were always good kids. They all work now. Kevin's got he owns his own shop for fixing cars right down the road. And Corey, he's got a shop in his garage, and then he works at Troggy's in Mount Calvary. And my daughter, she's a school teacher. Yeah, she teaches what's been in here and there. And yeah, she's a real good gal. And I can't forget one thing. I got my dog, Sam, and he's a wonderful guy. He's 14. Copper before him was 16, and he was a English Springer, too. And anyway, I can't forget them. And my wonderful wife. She's been so good for me, and hard work so hard. And
That's pretty wonderful.
Yeah, in 1980, we did have a barn fire, and it burnt the barn down here, except for one end. And that was a real bad thing. But especially in September, we didn't have any feed, and it really kind of set things back for a while. And we had 30,000 bales of hay in a barn, little bales, Dale and me, for, and it all burnt up. And I guess farming, I'm still crazy about it. I like it, you know, and it's just a little older now. I'm not doing, we don't have the cows anymore, sorry to say, but that's how it goes. And the kids are all busy with things they're doing. Kevin helps on the farm here, and he's definitely interested in owning it. And so that's a good thing. And my wife, she helps out at the school besides working around here yet. It seems like we never get done. They always see each other. They all live right around here. So, yeah, and my my brother Ronnie there in Dubuque, he's still alive. Dale, he died a few years ago. And he had some trouble with diabetes and heart trouble. And so he's gone. And I guess it's, I'm usually the one that gets a hold of talking, I guess.
That was Bob Smith of Foursome Acres celebrating their sesquicentennial farm in Fond du Lac County. He shares his family's heartfelt journey in farming and the passion for the work that he does. This interview is brought to you by the support of Compeer Financial. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Aubrey Schlumgen.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
U.S. ag officials scramble to head off a threat to the livestock industry today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community, and while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has mobilized resources to prevent an invasion of New World screwworm, a fly larvae that can be fatal to warm-blooded animals. Reports of the problem have been spreading from Panama and Central America north into and through Mexico. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says the southern U.S. border is on alert.
We are stopping the pest from spreading in Mexico and ensuring that our Mexican counterparts are full partners in eradication. We already have personnel in the field intercepting the illegally introduced livestock on the border with Mexico in coordination with Customs and Border Protection and our own USDA cattle fever tick eradication program.
Rollins says another prong of the defense effort is releasing sterile screwworm flies in Texas, which would stand to lose big time in the event of a screwworm outbreak. Here's Leif LaRoe, chair of the Texas Cattle Feeders Association.
These additional resources, combined with robust implementation of surveillance, sampling, reporting, and enhanced treatment protocols, provide a strong foundation for the U.S. to continue to fight the screwworm fly where it is today and ensure continued confidence in cattle and beef trade between the United States and Mexico.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Charlie Pittman, Civic Media's news director, will be here to recap all of the weekend news. In hour number two, we lighten it up with We Got This Garden. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police in Idaho say a man armed with a rifle started a wildfire on Sunday on a mountain, then began shooting when firefighters showed up. Kootenai County Sheriff Bob Norris.
At approximately 2 o'clock, firefighters broadcast that they were being shot at on Canfield Mountain.
The third firefighter was shot and wounded. The gunman also found dead of a gunshot wound. Well, they finally broke for the night.
Under the previous order, the Senate stands adjourned until 9 a.m.
Members of the Senate expected to vote today on the big budget bill President Trump once passed. Democrats demanded that the bill be read aloud. It's nearly 1,000 pages and took nearly 16 hours to do so. Republican Senator Tom Tillis, one of only two Republican no votes on the bill, announcing he will not seek re-election in North Carolina. President Trump speaking out against him on social media. Trade talks with Canada resuming after Canada rescinded its plan to tax U.S. tech firms. This is ABC News.